Go ahead.
Okay. So when Aunt Betty was 6 weeks old, her mother passed away. But mom's part of that is that she just left one day because they took her someplace else to have the baby, and she just never came home.
Oh, jeez.
And as soon as Daisy passed away, the sisters kept Jim from seeing the other kids. Well, actually, yeah, except for Glenn. And Glenn, the Markins' grandparents, took him and raised him. Okay. But the girls, they just never saw him again. So Aunt Isla took, which is Cousin Edith's mother, she took Mom because nobody else wanted her. I don't remember where Aunt Sylvia went. I don't remember anymore. But the Roars took Aunt Maud. And these were kids, this is 6 weeks old and, you know, a year and a half. I mean, these are tiny kids. Yeah. They weren't married very long. I mean, they weren't married 10 years. And they had all these babies and, you know, five of them survived and three of them didn't. So then when Aunt Isla took Mom, and then in school she realized that one of the teachers realized the Rubrights was her teacher, and Mrs. Rubright, and she realized that she was being abused. And so
who was being okay?
Mom was being abused. And she realized she was being abused.
And who was she with?
She was at Aunt Isla. Aunt Isla didn't like anybody. I mean, she was as angry as Mike. So, anyway, she apparently went to the authorities, and then one day in school, she asked Mom, would she like to come and live with her? So she did. And then she found the Franks, and then, because they were two maiden aunts, Eldie and Leora, and they took her and took her to her house. And she asked her when she was probably about six and a half. And they asked her, would she like to come to their house and be their little girl? So the story that I have heard that was that she was adopted, and that's why her last name was Frank, but I never saw any papers on it. So I that's just, you know, it's just family lore. But that's how she met Dad.
Right.
Because he was a cousin.
Right.
But somehow Cousin Edith never let her lose track of who she was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that she really was away.
Away.
Or a Markin.
Well, in a way.
Both. Anyway. Yeah. And so she knew about Aunt Isla and Aunt Sadie. You know, she knew about that. Okay. I know that she had stories of Uncle Lash, where he did horrible things to her, closed her into a trunk one time, and, you know, just, at any rate, the abuse was probably profound to her,
mm-hmm.
even if it was funny to them. Mm. You know, put this little kid in and she'd close it and it'd be okay. Not okay. So then Aunt Leora and Aunt Eldie taught her, you know, they got her piano lessons and harp lessons and everything, and when she was eight, she said she was looking out the front window, and there was a man that came walking up the front walk. And I don't know if you remember where that house is on White Pound Drive or not, but as a kid, I grew up, I mean, and next door where they had their flower garden, there was an apartment house then. But, I mean, that was a beautiful house, beautiful, beautiful Victorian house. Not huge, but very, very lovely. But anyway, this man came walking up the sidewalk with a little girl by the hand, and he came to the door, and they didn't let him in, but they took the little girl in, and he walked away, and that little girl was Aunt Sylvia, and that was her father, and she didn't know him.
Oh, wow.
She had no idea who he was. So she really never had any idea or any relationship with him at all. One time, I was probably Leah's age, I guess, and he was in the hospital, and she went to the hospital, and I went with her to see him. That's the only time in my life I ever saw him. Okay. In the meantime, he was remarried several times, And then Uncle Jack was his son by another mother that was lived in Montana.
Oh.
Okay.
Gee, I always thought that that was Glenn. I don't know why I thought.
No.
I thought Jack and Glenn was the same person.
Mm-mm. Jack is a, no, he was much younger than any of them, and he passed away 3 years ago. And his wife's name is Marty. I'll give you his, her address if you'd like it. But anyway, but he was considerably younger than Aunt Betty, who is the youngest of the,
right.
you know, of the Markins. And so he was a Markin too.
But by a different mother.
But by a different mother. And that marriage didn't last either, but, it, you know, there was Uncle Jack from that marriage.
Hmm.
And then...
So he was really a half-brother.
He was a half-brother. Absolutely, okay. You know. But I mean, he came to our when Mom was living. He came to our house.
Your grandmother?
Several, yes, dear.
When do you want me to come in?
Are you?
Wait.
Hang on there a second. Are you out of candy?
No. But
cousin Edith was really our cousin. She was our mother's first cousin. She was 13 years older, so that by the time that Daisy passed away, she was in her late teenage years, but she was already married and had already had Clark. So Clark and May and Ruth and Esther are Cousin Edith's kids, so they're our second cousins.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so, but they're old enough from... than us, as that when I was going to Copley School, and the classes that graduated were quite small. I mean, they, you know, there was a picture, and they all had oval pictures. I mean, it was,
yeah.
you know, they were small. But their picture, and they were my cousins, and they were on the wall in the halls, and I was really proud
oh.
of being able to go, that's, you know, that, you know. So.
Gosh, I had forgotten that you went to Copley.
I did. I went to Copley for 6 years. I graduated sixth grade and then seventh grade. By that time, the city had moved and taken in our property, and so I went to Simon Perkins. The first year
That's
it was
right.
even open,
yeah.
and we only went to school half days the first semester because they only had one floor,
yeah.
and they had to put everybody through, so we went half days until the second semester, and then both floors were finished, and then we went full days. And Mom was working at Motor Cargo right there at Wallhaven.
Yep.
And so I would walk up to there, and she
yep.
would take me home at noon.
Where was it? Where were they at Wallhaven?
There's a building behind where the Acme is. Do you know what I'm talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah.
Okay. There's the corner where Market
yeah.
and Exchange
yeah.
meet.
Yeah.
There's a building there. There was the Acme there, and it was behind, you know, on down. And you could drive through from Market to Exchange. That building ran side to side.
Wow. This is fascinating.
And by the time I was married, that had closed down, and they had made it into doctor's offices.
Yeah.
And Dr. Eitner, our dentist, had an office there in that same building.
I never knew that.
Yep. And see, the Bittners lived on off of Hawkins Avenue.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, how much closer could you be?
Yeah. But Buchtel had been around for a long time, right?
Buchtel had been around for a long time. Yeah. Mike graduated from Buchtel.
Yeah.
And Mom graduated from West High, and when by the time I was in high school, or in junior high, West was the other junior high. It wasn't a high school anymore. It was then a junior high.
Right.
And everybody went to Buchtel because that was the next school that took care of all that kids.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, so John went from Perkins to Buchtel.
Yes.
And I went to
Firestone.
Litchfield.
Litchfield, that's right. You went to Litchfield and Firestone.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Going back to the family thing anyway. But Cousin Edith never lost track of Mom. That was important. I don't know why it was important to her, but it was terribly important to her to keep that relationship. So, and her dad lived with them, gosh, until after Ruth was married, for sure. And Esther and Ruth were still at home at that point, and, you know, anyway, he lived there. And Cousin Edith was, man, that woman, I don't know, I'll never be able to work like that woman worked.
Oh, she was a lovely woman.
But I'll never be able to work the kind of hours that that woman would work. I mean, seriously. She made Cousin Jean's white shirts. She sewed them.
Wow.
I mean, you know, and I remember her quilting all the time.
I do remember that.
Quilted all the time. One year I remember her piecing and quilting more than a dozen quilts that year.
Oh, my God.
That's what she did.
I just remember when John and I go over there and she'd go, if you kids don't behave, I'm going to get mad and make fudge.
That's right. She always did.
Of course, we'd
act
up.
And we'd go over there and make mincemeat. She had 2 20-gallon trucks.
Yeah.
And we'd fill them up.
Yeah.
Because all of her kids would, you know, they would make sure that they had bought the seed, and she had 2.5 acres there. They would buy the seed, and they would have the place plowed and harrowed. And she did all the work and canned and froze everything that she could. And they would take it home and eat it.
They had a lot of apple trees there, I remember.
They had apples, they had pears, they had peaches, they had green gauge plums. She had 2 different kinds of currants. She had grapes. Because when you make mincemeat, you have to have apples,
mm-hmm.
boiled down cider, boiled down grape juice, currants, and raisins. I mean, she made all of that. We never had to buy anything. Mom's contribution was she bought the meat and the suet. And I can tell you that it takes 10 pounds of shredded beef, neck meat. Oh, it had to be neck meat. And 4 pounds of suet to make 120-gallon crock of mincemeat. I can still tell you, I have the recipe in my mother's writing.
Do you? I'd like to have a copy of it, I mean.
Yeah. I have recipes that were in Aunt Leora's writing.
Oh, wow.
So, and Aunt Leora, when Mom was, I think, 14, developed cancer, and she died. And then when she was 16, Aunt Sadie had a stroke, and Mom took care of her till she died. She did all the finances, you know. And Aunt Leora had left money for Mom to go to school to, you know, for music, for piano and everything. And they took that money and gave it to Uncle Charlie, who was also a Frank. And that's how he got elected to county treasurer. What's the matter?
I ran out.
You ran out?
Yeah.
Honey, turn out all the lights outside.
Okay.
Unplug everything. Blow out the candles. Bring in the, you know, everything that can't be, you know.
Sorry.
Let your dad.
What's the
it.
Connection with the cyberlings then?
Oh, okay. John's cyberling married a Frank. That's how they got connected.
Hmm.
It's from the Frank side of it, Dad's side of it.
Right. How did Dad end up in Akron? Back in Akron. Because he graduated from University of Chicago.
I don't think he graduated.
Yes,
That's
he did.
You for sure.
For sure, for sure.
Okay, good. Okay.
I saw.
You saw something.
Mike
okay.
had the diploma.
I know he went to law school, so he must have graduated.
Yeah, and so he had the law school certificate, and it's about this big. It's the biggest certificate I've ever seen in my whole life. It's got to be 3 feet wide and 2 feet high. I've never seen anything like it in my
wow.
life, and I saw that at one point. And Mike had it, and that's because I never believed it until I actually saw that. I always thought that Dad was
just
BSing.
BSing.
Yeah. And that's when I had to, I mean, unless he got a document and forged it.
No, I can't imagine.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah. That's a little extreme.
So he must have come back to Akron after things fell apart in Chicago.
Well, okay.
Go ahead.
This is what I know.
Yeah.
And again, it's family lore.
Yeah.
You do realize that our mom and dad, that was his third wife.
Well, I know there was at least two, but I haven't seen proof that there was three.
There was three.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Nanny knew. Okay. Nanny yeah. would, you know, she knew, and she had stuff. Did your dad get there, honey? Anyway, his first wife was the first Mary, and she was an armor.
Right.
Because he worked with armor.
Yeah.
Okay. That's yeah. how he got all of the Oriental yeah. stuff. Is your dad home?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
I don't. But nope. I turned off all the lights, but I left the lawn chair, the two chairs, and the table.
Well, let him worry about that, because I don't know where he was.
Okay,
had
everything else is
stored. Okay, perfect. You realize in an hour and a half, you gave away all that candy.
Mm-hmm.
Hour and a half.
Most of it was just like one piece at a time.
I know, but it goes fast, doesn't it? I don't know if he's going to try to get some more candy or not on the way home. I hope he doesn't, but that's up to him. But you seen your duty and you done it, honey. So anyway, and the story Nanny tells I'm listening to, you know, with the elephant ears as a kid, was that Mary was not stable.
Right.
And for whatever reason, she went into an asylum.
Right.
And they got divorced, and then Goldie was the next one.
That's right. I do know about Goldie. I did know about Goldie, yeah.
Okay. And so the reason he left Chicago had to do with Mary.
Which Mary? First
Mary.
Yeah.
And he always referred to as that, the first Mary. I mean, he didn't...
Where's he sparing gifts?
He didn't deny that existed or anything.
Yeah. I just never heard it as a child.
You got some more. Okay, you guys can go back out and do your thing.
Okay.
I hope you got the kind I like, because there should be leftovers. So, then there was Goldie. Okay. And Goldie was Jewish. And Nanny didn't like any of those women. She didn't like Mom either, but she liked Mom better, because Mom would put up with her. Mary didn't ever have to put up with her, but Goldie did. And I think that the reason he came back to the area was because they had shoe stores, they had theaters,
right. Canton.
They had all of that stuff down in Canton.
Yeah.
In Millersburg and places like that. I mean, there was a bunch of them, and that was the Franks. That's what the Frank men did. That's what Milton did. That's what DT did. Okay, but Nanny had put her own little money in all of that, and she was a good manager. Mom even would admit that she could run those men. Okay, and so that's how that hall thing, got in existence. But
what happened with Goldie?
I don't know what happened to her, but I know they got divorced.
Okay.
They were married, divorced, they had no children. All of us, we're his only children.
Right.
We don't have any half-siblings. Well, and as a matter of fact, I can remember him talking about how pissed off he was that Mom allowed herself to get pregnant with Mike. That was her fault, and John's foot was her fault. She did bad thoughts. I can remember all this stuff when he was a baby, and you weren't even thought of yet.
Do you think I was like a save the marriage?
Premeditation, just like my kid. I always tell my kids the truth. They're all premeditated carelessness.
Well, I often thought, because of John, if they went, oh, geez, if we had another one that was good.
If there was anything that would have pushed everything in that direction, it was me. I can remember crying. For a baby sister. I can remember literally sitting in the green chair and crying, sobbing as a little kid, like 4 years old, 5 years old, sobbing for a baby sister. So if you want to blame anybody, blame it on me.
I gave up all resentment and blame.
Well, know. There's a difference between with blame and responsibility, though, right?
Yeah.
I'll be responsible. If there was any such thing, I'm responsible. Because, I can remember the day that John was born. I remember the the maternity outfit Mom had on. It was green. And I can remember how sick she felt. And I don't think she realized she was in labor, to be honest with you. She just felt sick. Yeah. She was vomiting and, you know, and everything. And I told her she should go to bed because I wouldn't have been four yet.
Right.
Okay, I've been, you know, close, but no cigar. But I can remember, because Bill was there, and Dad was traveling, and I can remember her saying that she would have to fix lunch. And I said, well, I can fix lunch. I can make peanut butter. And she said, but Bill always wants coffee with his lunch. And I said, I can make coffee. There was a little tiny, like element kind of thing with the little things, mm-hmm. that, and they were round like, oh, do you remember
yeah,
what that
yeah,
was?
Yeah, 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 I know exactly what it looks
and
like.
And it was a Corey coffee mix
yeah.
maker. Okay?
Yeah.
You put water in, you put the little thing, put the
yeah.
head, put the water, the boiling water, and it boiled down in it. Okay. So anyway, and she said, you can't make it because you're not tall enough. And I said, I'll just sit it on the floor. And I did.
Wow.
I remember doing that because she felt so sick. And I know Dad came home from work, and it probably was around 6 o'clock, maybe a little after. But anyway, and so he took her to the hospital, and I can remember that they got us, you know, to the hospital. They got her on a cart, and he went to park the car, and by the time he got back inside the building, they were calling him on a loudspeaker to come because they needed for him to look at his foot.
Yeah, it was Dr. Troll.
Yes. Yes.
Where was the...
That devastated our dad.
Oh, for sure.
That devastated him. I mean, every bit as much as you were feeling with Mary, you know that he had to feel that way. And he didn't know where to put the blame, but he knew that it couldn't be his.
Mm.
That's what he knew. And that made, I mean, I think he was an angry person, but he was keeping the lid on it until that. And then shortly, not too long after, well, at that point in time when the war was over, then he lost his job.
Yeah.
They had no insurance. And that's when, and they had been building on the house.
Mm.
And that's when the little house burned down.
Yeah.
And I can remember them talking about the insurance, and Mom went and got the papers on the insurance, and it had lapsed.
Yeah.
So all of that stuff was gone.
Do you remember the picture of Cop?
Yeah.
Where was that house?
That was on Braywick Drive.
Which is where?
You go down Market Street, and where the bus used to stop, and there was a circle. Before you get to the... Before you get to Fairlawn Doug, golf course. On the left-hand side.
Yeah.
And there was a circle. And that's where the buses turned around and went back down towards Rose Boulevard. That's where they lived.
By the Shell station.
Yeah. They lived on Braywick Drive over there. When they had caught.
So that was before you were born.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Before Mike was born.
Yeah.
I think he was born, they lived in that house.
Oh, so, yeah, because someone tells me that they moved to Revere.
They moved to Revere Road a month after I was born, or before I was born. No, that's not true. A year, no. Hang on. Mike was four. Mike was four when they moved out to the farm.
And how did they... Was that a larger farm, and then they sold off part of it?
Yeah, it was. That was the Averill. Write this down. Averill. The reason I know that is because we found cream and milk bottles with the name on. And it was part of the glass. It wasn't, you know, embossed or anything. It was part of the glass.
Wow.
And anyways, it was the Averill dairy farm. On the right-hand side of the road, and it went from Smith Road to where the golf course was.
Oh,
it was huge.
Yeah, what's the name of that street? That was a paper.
And right up to the park. I mean, you know, that whole
thing.
That's
huge.
Oh, it's huge. And what happened was...
That would have been like 1,000 acres. That must have been huge.
Oh, it's huge. The place was completely empty. There was nothing out there. There were three houses. Mangano's and the Porcher Brothers and our house.
Porcher Brothers.
You don't know some of this history, do you? So all this property, and Scott, Mike was 4 years old, and then Aunt Maud and Uncle Ivan lived in the little five-room tenement house across the driveway that burned down later.
Oh.
And they helped to run the farm. And Dad had people, I mean, he was traveling, he was in Washington.
Yeah.
You know, you have to realize this was 38.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Right before the war started, but the war was starting in Europe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that was about the time, at any rate, let me finish that part. So they had some hired people that would go out there. They bought the 5 acres out of the center with the house.
Oh.
There was nothing else there except there was a bank barn at the back. Remember where all that?
Yep.
Okay. They pulled that down because it was unsafe. They didn't want anybody to get hurt. So they just went, they pulled a beam and down it went. Okay. There was a back house over there in that area. And there was a couple of other outbuildings, but they kind of just tumbled down over. I mean, I can remember as a little tiny kid, and then they weren't there.
Mm.
But anyway, I think he might have gotten permission, but I mean, they put in hay, they put in oats, they put in corn. I mean, they put in all that kind of stuff because they had the little barn out back,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that was the idea, is that they could have a subsistence farm.
Right. Hobby farm.
Yeah. Well, they said subsistence because they thought that they could, except for stuff like, I don't know, flour and sugar and, you know, that kind of thing, they could feed themselves if they would bring in enough animals. So he bought the two draft horses, Fanny and Flory, okay? They were picked Percherons, okay? Pete was the horse that was a riding horse. I mean, that was, you know, that was just a hole into which you poured money. And they had hogs.
Yeah. Now, wasn't the other barn still there when they had the hogs? Because isn't that the one where Mom got on the door?
It was that barn that you grew up with.
Oh, it was that barn?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was the old barn.
No.
Okay.
That was the barn. But anyway, they had they had you know hogs. They had chickens. They had a couple of dozen chickens, and 1 year they would be pullets, and then they'd have the laying hens, and then they would grow up, and then they would butcher those, and then they'd get another dozen pullets, and that's, they just kept, you know, doing that over and over again. And during the war, they sold butter and eggs and milk.
Wow.
And yeah.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah. And every time Mom would have a baby, they would buy a fresh cow.
I heard that mine was called Red. Big Red or something.
Well, it doesn't matter. They were still producing by the time you were born.
Right.
I have a feeling Red and More Red had to do with me and Scott, or me and Mike, or shoot, John, actually.
Oh, okay.
But nevertheless, about 30 days before I was born, you know, Dad was traveling. He was, they were talking about him having to go overseas. I can remember looking, do you remember the old Atlas? I still have that, by the way, with his name embossed on it. Anyway, I still have that. And I can remember Mom showing me where in California Los Angeles was and the route it would take for the train for Dad to travel, because he couldn't travel on an airplane because of his eardrum had been burst.
Right.
And it bothered him too much. So he went on the train. And I can remember going back and forth with Washington and New York and everything. But anyway, there was a guy that they knew, and I don't remember who it was anymore, if I ever did, that he was scared because Mom was there by herself with one little, you know, tiny kid. You know, Mike was, you know, like 6 and a half at that point. Anyway, and there was nobody there, and Dad was traveling. And so about 30 days before I was born, he walked up the driveway with this hunchback man. And he said, "Mary, you can't be here by yourself anymore. This is Bill Kramer. He's your hired man," and turned around and left.
Wow.
That's how we got Bill.
And his last name was Kramer, eh?
His last name was Kramer.
I never
knew
that.
And his parents were buried at Glen, think of it, Glen something cemetery downtown in Akron, but they couldn't find, there were so many Kramers they didn't know, but his parents were buried there and there was a lot for him, but they couldn't really determine which one was his parents. And so they ended up burying him in Copley. Copley had a nice cemetery.
Right.
But he passed away when I was 8. I think August after I was 8 in May. So, but Bill, you know, worked on the farm. He was a babysitter for me. I mean, I followed him around like a puppy.
Mm.
He was my friend. I mean, Bill was a good guy.
Mm.
I love Bill.
Mm.
There, you know, I can remember when other people in the neighborhood, their kids were terrified of him because, I mean, the man never bathed. His hair could be down halfway down his back, and he's very, very black hair.
Mm.
He was probably, I'm going to say he was in the 63-ish, maybe a little bit more when he passed away. But he also, and he had scoliosis. I mean, he had a huge hunchback.
Okay?
Mm. It didn't bother me because Bill was my friend.
Mm.
So, but he would, he milked, and he worked, you know, and he could run that team. Those Percheron horses, he could run that team. And the hog, the big hog that we had, would follow him around like a puppy. So, and I can remember when I was probably 3 or 4, and my job was to collect eggs. And I was absolutely terrified to go in.
Me too, I can remember doing that.
Because there was a Rhode Island red rooster that would chase you around and pick at you, and he was just meaner than hell. And I can remember going and getting the eggs and being terrified that he was going to come into the hen house.
Oh, yeah.
And get those
I
things.
I was so scared.
But I got paid a penny an egg to get it.
Mm.
And it occurred to me years later that because it would, I remember telling Bill that I, if with 12 cents every day, I remember thinking about how much money I would get.
Mm-hmm.
I must have been an accountant always.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I can remember years later thinking, you know, some of those eggs were cold. And I remember if he put them out of the refrigerator in there just so I would get that much money. Swear to God, I thought about that. But years later, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, Bill never would have his picture taken. But he had his picture taken one time, and that was with me.
Oh.
There was one picture of Bill ever, ever, ever. And he had it beside his bed when he lived in that little tenement house.
Do you have it?
Do I have it? No, it burned down.
Oh,
and the house burned
right,
down and all
right,
went.
Right.
But that was the only time he would ever let anybody take his picture. He was absolutely, you couldn't even talk about him having a picture taken. I can remember Mike had a little camera and he was sitting on the ground. They'll figure it out. I don't ever go to the door. They'll figure it out. He was sitting with his back against one of the pine trees on the terrace. Remember, there's one on each side of the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Going down to the terrace.
Yeah.
And Mike aimed the camera at him. I thought he was going to kill him. I never saw Bill ever angry like that. He was absolutely furious.
Do you think he had some bad past?
I don't know. I know that he was definitely an alcoholic. I know that Dad never gave him any money, because if he gave him any money, he would walk to wherever there was alcohol.
And disappear.
And just, they'd have to go find him.
Wow.
Yeah. And he had one tooth in his head. It was this one right here. Okay. And he smoked Bull Durham cigarettes that he rolled himself. And he got a pack a day. And there was 20 cigarette papers in that thing. And that's what he would.
And yet Dad trusted him to look after Mom while he was gone.
Yeah. But he couldn't be trusted if there was alcohol in our house.
Yeah.
He would find it. There was no way you could bear it. You could, you know, hide it. He would find it.
Well.
And, but he was so filthy. And when there was the front stairs went up from when it was still a story and a half house.
Mm.
One of those rooms up there. And then they moved him over into the tenement house. And then when he wasn't there anymore, I mean, he had, you know, at first they put him down by the furnace in the basement in a cot, and then upstairs in the old back kitchen. But he never was allowed to eat with the family. That always hurt me. Mm. And put his dinner someplace else. And yet when I was a little kid, I can remember sitting in his lap, and he would read me the newspaper. I don't know what he was reading me, but I was sitting on Bill's lap. I remember doing that.
Mm.
So.
All right, you want to eat?
Yeah.
Thank you.